So as we're going through the book of Ephesians, we're finding ourselves in chapter 4. So if you're following along, if you're reading through the book of Ephesians with us as a collective church, as a body, it's a great book. It's written by Paul, of course, to the church in Ephesus, where he is he's in a mission. He's kind of in a mission field. And in this mission field, he's up against so much negativity. He's up against so many things that have coming against the Christian faith. There's paganism. There's different deities that are being worshipped. There's chaos in this small city, or this large city. I mean, it's a huge port city of huge significance. And yet Paul is going and planted a church there in the book of Ephesians, where he gives them this advice. And we're taking up some really good, sound advice from Paul in how to live as Christians in a crazy society. Sound familiar? We live in a crazy society. We live in a society that is just full of fear, full of anxiety, full of sin, full of garbage, just the craziness of this life that we live in. And yet we read in the book of Ephesians some encouragements and some directions. In this part, in chapter 4, we're kind of taking the second part, if you will, in chapter 4. We're starting in verse 17, and I want to read that quickly this morning. If I can just read the portions there, 17 through 19. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. I love that. You know, those people, the sinners, those people who don't have Jesus, they're hopelessly confused. Verse 18, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. And so as we think of Paul, in this first section, he's talking to us and really describing these the people who are hopeless, those people who don't have Christ in their lives. And so, as I think about this, this whole second part of the chapter is talking about how we are to be made new in Christ. We're being made new. The old is gone, the new has come. And so this theme this morning, I wanted to talk about that. And as I realize and I recognize in our church here, as we have primarily Christian people that I'm speaking to today. And so as a pastor, as your pastor, as a speaker this morning, I'm really wrestling with this passage, because this isn't something really, this passage of scripture is something that you teach or preach to people who have been Christians for a long time. Because for the majority of you, I think you get it. But as I was digging deep in the scripture, I'm reminded that we all need help. We all need encouragement. We all need to daily put off the old self and clothe ourselves with the newness of Christ. Because I don't know about you, but I do. In my life, there's times where these things just come to the surface, this sinfulness in my life, the inherent sin that I have as a human being. Thanks to Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, it comes out from time to time. You know, so it's like we moved in our house. I don't know. It's coming up upon a year right now, and we're working. You know how you do in a house? You kind of work on it here and there. You want to put new paint on the walls. You want to kind of make it fresh and make it your own. And so we're putting paint here and there. And as I'm going through this, it's like, The person before us, there's a room in one of my son, down in the base of my son's room. They had girls, and so the room is pink. The paint is just pretty pink, and it's just lovely. And so my son, as we're like, hey, you get the pink room. There you go. That's all you. And the previous owner used some amazing paint, because you know they have got this paint now. That it's like you can write on it, you can draw on it, with, you know, it's kid-proof and stuff like that, and then you just wipe it off, and it's amazing paint. And so we pick out this color. We let him pick out this color and this manly army brownish green color, this dark, you know, it's going to match his antlers on the wall and match his guns hanging all over the place. And so we're painting his room, and it's like, okay, this is looking good. It's looking more like a boy's room, and he's enjoying it. But what ends up happening is from time to time, as he's hanging up his clothes or scratching something, the pink is showing through. It's making a scratch. Because it's such a high-quality paint before, the new paint going on top isn't sticking as well. And I got to figure this out, because I know some of you are way better than this than I am, and I wasn't sure what. There's really not much we could have done. I probably could have put another coat of white or, you know, some primer on it before or something. But the pink is showing through. And so now he's got this beautiful army green, manly room with strikes of pink all over the place. And there's an illustration in there somewhere, but I haven't figured it out yet. But I'm just thinking that, so what happens is when we put something new on an old coat of paint, you know, when stress or something comes in contact with it, it chips. The paint chips off. And so as I'm thinking about this passage of Scripture and teaching and preaching to myself and teaching to us as Christians, we like to sometimes just put on Jesus, you know, that fresh coat of paint of Christianity. We put on that fresh coat of paint of Christianity and thinking that everything looks great and hey, look at us, we got a fresh coat of paint. I'm a Christian. I've got Jesus all over me, and everybody, look, I'm smiling now. I've cleaned up. I've hidden all my impurities, and look at me. And guess what happens when the world rubs you wrong? When the world rubs you wrong, guess what comes out? The old coat of pink, the old sin, the old anger, the garbage that we have kind of placed behind us. And yet, when somebody rubs us wrong, it comes out. When somebody says something we don't like, the old self comes out. When somebody has offended you, the old self comes out. You know, when someone does something to you and frustrates you and makes you angry, the old self comes out. And that's when we realize as Christians is that, wow, I just kind of put a fresh coat of paint on it, but I didn't prepare the surface underneath good enough because it didn't stick. It didn't stick. Another illustration about my house. I can give you dozens because we've been working on it here and there. I'm redoing our railing, our banister and stuff, and we're just kind of just working on it. I enjoy it. It's fun. And so as I'm redoing this, I'm realizing I can't restain wood that's been stained and varnished and lacquered and things like that. So what I have to do is I got to take some sandpaper to it, and I've been sanding, and sanding, and sanding. And we've been trying to get over the sandpaper and get through it. And Darren, you can help me out with this, I'm sure. Like I tried to cheat. I tried. And there's chemicals that I've tried to be like, okay, cool. That, you know, sandpaper in a bottle, they call it. So I'm like, cool, we don't have to sand it. I'm just gonna put some stuff on it and wipe it down and hopefully the old junk comes off. And yeah, it does, but it doesn't work. Sandpaper is the only thing that's working. And so as I'm sanding and I'm scrubbing and I'm just really working hard on this wood, I'm realizing this is the hard work it takes. This is the hard work it takes in order for my new stain to truly take the wood. So as we think about this in our lives, it's that sandpaper, it's that friction, it's that harshness, it's that hard elbow grease that you need to really make it work. And so as I'm completing this project, I'm pretty much done now, and I'm thankful because I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, that stuff's sticking well. That new stain looks beautiful because of that sandpaper. And so as we think of this passage of Scripture, that Paul is really trying to tell us, listen, you've got to embrace the sandpaper in your life. You've got to realize that it takes hard work. This Christianity thing is not just something that you just put on something new and hope it sticks. You've got to prepare the surface. You've got to prepare your heart. You've got to be that person that is doing the work that's saying, I've got to rid myself of the impurities and ask God to come in then fresh and anew and help. make me a new person. And so Scripture talks a lot about the heart. You've ever heard that before, right? The cleanse me in the heart. And as we talk about, as Paul's talking, the heart is hardened. The heart is hardened. It gets hardened, and there's that callous that comes forth. Is that three words that Paul that I picked out from this passage? Three words is darkened, blindness, and this past feeling. So this darkness is to cover with darkness. Usually is intentionally, as a hardened callous is that something that covers, and that no longer we feel the pain because the callous numbs. You see, a lot of times in our Christian walk, that when our heart becomes hard and a person's heart becomes hard, we're callous because we've done the same thing over and over and over, and it just becomes a callous. I think that can be true a lot of times in church. You know, in the church, we come together, we are calloused to potentially the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because we've always come to church, we've always done it this way, or something has calloused your heart and to make it harden. And Paul is simply saying, listen, you've got to be careful not to be so hard-hearted. Paul says, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. You see, Paul is just simply calling out some people that are doing some wrong things. Their heart is hard, and they've been calloused. You see, as we ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit, potentially because our heart is calloused, we no longer feel a sense of conviction anymore. I find this pretty interesting because Paul's not only talking to the new Christian, but I feel like there's some stuff for the old Christian too, the Christian who's been around for a while, is that the hardness of our hearts, the calluses that take place, is that we no longer can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit guiding us and directing us. And guess what? You need a little sandpaper to rough that stuff off. Let the Holy Spirit just come to you and say, listen, God, I want you. I've got some rough edges. I need sandpaper. Would you just work on me a little bit, because I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit's power. And so Paul is just simply warning us, and I'm just reiterating today of what we just read, that we need to harden our hearts and be calloused, but allow that the new sense and the fresh sense of God's Holy Spirit to come in our lives and change us and challenge us. Secondly, Paul talks in verses 20 through 32 that we are to put off the old man. Put off the old man. Let me read that. I think we have it up here on the screen. If not, I have it, and I can just, do we have that verse 20? There it is. One more back, else. There we go. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. It's verse 26. And she's quick with those fingers back there. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Verse 28, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I want to repeat that really quick. Don't move on. Verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. We get that. We're like, okay, cool. We won't swear. We won't cuss. But let everything you say, man, everybody say it right now. Say it with me. Say the word everything.
Everything.
Everything you say. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Holy cow. I had to stop there just for me. I don't know about you. I just needed to stop there for me today. Let everything that you say should be, that, I mean, an encouragement to others. Whew. Man, I could preach that for, that's a whole sermon series in itself. All right, let's move on. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. That is some good stuff. That is some good stuff. I mean, my goodness, Paul's a great writer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see here what's going on. We're to be transformed. We're to be changed. We're to be new. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, anything that belongs to your earthly nature. You see, in your life, it's closing one door and opening another. The Christian life is saying, I'm going to put this aside, the way I used to live, the people I used to hang out with, the attitudes I used to have, the language I used to speak, the gossip that I used to partake in. It's putting all that aside and saying, I'm going to live as a Christian. I'm going to live with my new flesh, with this new sense of Christ on me. I'm going to live daily in him. And so the character of this new person, as I kind of break this down verse by verse, I won't belabor these points, but I just want to make sure that we understand that there's 8 points about relationships and the character of a Christian involving and wrapping around this idea. Number one, verse 25 says, put off falsehood. Like, let's put that all off. Don't lie. Let's not be who you want to be. Be who you are. And don't tell people any different. Because trust me, they already know. Don't pretend you're anything that you're not. Don't be a liar. Don't try to manipulate your words. So put off falsehood, Paul says, as a Christian in new character. Verse 26, he talks about don't let anger control you. Anybody here an angry person? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just kidding. I mean, you could be an angry person. That, you know, just everything just ticks you off. You know, you may be driving and you'll see an Amish buggy in front of you or something. It just makes you mad. It's like, really? I got to go around you today? You're an angry person. You know, you may be an angry person just because something's not going on. I was angry yesterday. Let me just tell you. I was angry. I was working out. I was cleaning some stuff up at my garage, and I've got this workbench with a pull-out rolling shelf thingy, or whatever you call those, like a drawer that pulls out, and it holds hand tools and stuff like that. And this stupid thing was broken, and it was coming off of its hinges. And I'm telling you what, it's one of those things where I don't know who like designed this thing, but you had to fit in a slot this way and a slot this way all at the same time to in order for this little rolling shelf, to this drawer, to kind of fit in place. And so I was struggling with that stupid thing all day yesterday. It felt like, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I took a hammer. Yeah, I'm an angry person sometimes, okay? I took a hammer and just took a whack at it, and it did its thing. And I was, in fact, you know what? It was the best thing, because it didn't break it, but it threw the whole thing apart, and I was able to start fresh. And it was like, okay, this is okay. And then finally, I got it put back together. But see, I was angry. I was so mad. I was just ticked off at this thing, because I'm like, because literally I wasn't doing this chore. I wasn't doing that. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to grab a hammer and then go do something else. You ever been there? Drives me absolutely loopy. My goal was just to grab a hammer because I'm doing something else, But then it felt like the whole day, it's probably 10 minutes, but the whole day I spent fixing that drawer. I was angry. And Paul says, let's put off the anger. Of course, I'd rather kick my drawer in my garage than my kids or something or whatever. So I think that's okay. I just had to get it out. So put off the anger. Don't let anger control you. Don't lose your temper. And Paul, number three, says, watch for footholds. Watch for footholds. Watch for things that Satan's got your number. Did anybody realize that? If you've been a Christian for a long time, if you've been a Christian for any amount of years, you know that Satan knows exactly the buttons to push in you. Come on. Yeah, he knows exactly which ones to get you. He knows exactly the buttons to push. And it's like, let's not give Satan a foothold and to tempt him to say, hey, listen, I'm exposed. Let's not give him a foothold so that he can tempt us and that we fall into sin. Number four, the character, and Paul's talking about character of a new person. He's simply saying, live a lifestyle that's legal. Quit stealing. Don't try to get rich. The goal is to be a giver and to work hard with our hands. So Paul's talking about that. That's verse 28. Fifthly, verse 29, speak helping words, right? Encouragement. And I just talked about that. Man, everything we speak, everything we say, everything we share with people should be uplifting, encouraging. Now, do I have to pause for a moment to talk a little bit about gossip? Maybe we do. You know what gossip is, right? Gossip isn't just like a lot of times we think that, oh, we're just saying a prayer request, but did you hear about her? Let's pray for her because this. What did I drop? Pray for this. Or did you hear about so-and-so? Or, it's gossip. And we have to be careful not to listen to gossip. We have to be careful not to speak gossip. We have to be sure if what we are saying is not lifting somebody else up, shut your mouth. Right? And those of you who are ears are open to it, we have to be willing to walk away. It's hard because some live in a lifestyle of gossip. It's a lifestyle. And it's something that we can easily get, men, women alike. I'm not just picking on one person or the other. It's an easy thing to get into because gossip brings you together, doesn't it? You ever sit around with somebody and just talk about somebody and you just feel this weird, amazing bond with that person? Am I really the only one in here that sins? Come on. You guys are looking at me like you're holy and righteous and like, holy cow, why is our pastor this horrible sinner? Goodness. Yeah, you sit and you talk about somebody else that they're not there, there's like a really cool bond that is between you. And you just feel good. You just kind of feel, yeah, we're buds now, man. We just talked about that person. And we make ourselves feel better. But guess what? That's gossip. We've got to be willing to nip that one and just say, listen, whoa, we're going too far here. I've been around some of you that are really good. You do a great job. You know, it's like in the church, we have to talk about certain things or certain roles or certain things during a meeting or whatever. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's good, but let's talk about something else. Oh, good job. Thank you for not letting us go there. And so, church, we've got to be careful that we are people that are encouraging everything we do and that everything we say is good and helpful. Because guess what? If you're a gossip, nobody wants to be around you. So if you're wondering why you don't have any friends, it's just like, nah, I'm good. You bring me down, man. You're bringing me down. And so the encouragement there from Paul is speak words that lift up. Number six, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know that word grieve is one translation says, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. I don't like that, but I thought it was interesting. I like don't grieve. I get that word, but it was a different translation of the Bible. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad by your actions. And now again, these are some of our elementary principles. Some are like, holy cow, this is huge. Number seven, Don't let the flesh poison your relationships. Don't let the flesh poison your relationships. Verse 31, right? It's like, get rid of, Paul talks of, carry away, take away, remove the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the disputes, the quarrels, abuse of speech, malice, you get it. Number 8, let kindness and forgiveness be the first reaction, not the last. That's out of verse 32. Again, I'm just taking these verses and kind of putting them into my own words for us to help as we build our character in the new life in Christ. As we allow the sandpaper of the Holy Spirit come near to us, shine us up, get rid of the old impurities so that we can take on the newness of Christ. And so as we close out today, I just invite the band to come on up. And I feel like as a church, there's some mature Christians, and as a pastor, we need to hear this from time to time. And that's why I love Ephesians, because this is huge stuff for the very, very new Christian, and yet it applies to those who have been Christians for a long time. And so hardness of heart, putting off the old and putting on the new, I think we need to realize that, you know, maybe you've been that person who has just kind of said, oh, I'm going to go to church. You know, I just have to go because somebody's making me go, or I'm going to go to church because I like those people, they're kind of cool, or I go because of the music, or I go because it's just, they got great coffee in the back. You know, Becky's just making some amazing stuff out there. And you may be going to church for the wrong reason. You may be a Christian for the wrong reasons. And you just have decided to say, I'm gonna try this Jesus thing out. And you kind of put that newness on. And when the world, when sin, when something comes up and rubs you the wrong way, it's like, oh, there's the old man again. Let the Holy Spirit take a little sandpaper to your heart, to your life, and scrape away and rub away the stuff that's accumulated. Allow the sandpaper of the Holy Spirit to prepare the surface of your heart so that the newness of Christ can take root. And so are you ready for the sandpaper of the Holy Spirit? You got to be ready. You got to be willing. You got to be able to say, Lord, here I am. I'm an open book. I'm not perfect. I need some of my edges roughed. So I want to pray for you today. And if that's you today, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, God, I need prayer today, because I am feeling that I need a little fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody just raise their hand. Thanks you for your courage. Yep. Look all the way around. Yep. Just a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Oh, Holy Spirit, just use your cleansing. Get rid of the rough edges, the junk that accumulates over time, so that the newness of Christ will be evident to those that I come in contact with. Let that be your prayer today. Oh, Holy Spirit, just do a work in our lives. Do a work in my life. Holy Spirit, let the roughness, the tension of your sandpaper come and rough the edges off, so that I would be able to accept the new life in Christ that you offer.